everyone, and welcome to the Trade Addicts Podcast, where the first step is admitting you have a problem. Please welcome your hosts for today's session, Dynasty Outhouse and Brian Haar.
Hey, everybody. I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
And I'm Brian Haar, and I also have a trading problem.
Now, I feel like we've been hammering you guys with some hard-hitting episodes of very long, very informative, but still very awesome info. Yeah, that sounds right. So we figured we'd take it a little easy on you guys this week. We wanted to keep it light, keep it not formal, the opposite of that, casual. That's what we were going to do. And when Brian and I were talking before about guests we've had on, guests maybe we want to have on, we realized that every time we do have a guest on, we ask him those first few questions about who they are, what they do, how they trade, and all that stuff. But we've never really asked that to each other. So we're going to give you a little Trade Addicts Insider Studio. So let's start with that. Brian, why don't you tell the people about yourself?
Yeah, so for me, I've been playing fantasy now for a little over 15 years. I'm not sure if it's like 15 or 16 seasons now, but Dynasty about the last six. And when I found the Dynasty format, my passion for fantasy football went to a completely different level, which I think is probably common for people that find the Dynasty format. And what it really helped me do is stay out of fantasy baseball. I know there's a lot of fantasy baseball guys. I did fantasy baseball to fill the time in between fantasy football seasons. And the bad part about that is fantasy football kicks back in right at the time where you really need to be paying attention to fantasy baseball stuff and into the playoffs and different things. So that didn't work out too well for me. I kind of shifted my attention back to fantasy football and whatnot. But when I found the Dynasty format, it was awesome because obviously it's year round. There's no off season. So this format, the Dynasty format, is my favorite by far. And it's awesome to be a part of the community and whatnot. But yeah, so as far as trading goes, Trade Addicts Pod, right? So I don't know if I have any things that I try. Yeah, I mean,
let's start with, do you have any best trades you could think of off the top of your head? I know 6 years might be a little tough. You have any from a couple of years ago that, you know, players aren't even in the league anymore that people would be like, oh, yeah, I remember when that guy was actually valuable?
Well, I'll tell you who. So I traded, and I don't remember the exact trade. I don't remember the pieces I gave away, but I remember I traded for when I first. Actually, that's fantasy. That's not dynasty. I was going to say I traded for Marion Barber in fantasy 1 year when he was like actually a thing in Dallas. Oh, yeah. And I traded like nothing for him. It was like a bench, some bench player. And I got Barber back and I ended up winning. That was actually the first league I ever won. That's why it sticks out in my mind. But as far as dynasty trades go, is there one that sticks out?
Any trades that help you win a championship or anything you traded like a third for that you were able to turn around and sell for a high first? There's got to be something, unless you're just terrible at trading and you've been hiding it from me the whole time.
Yeah. Honestly, man, I mean, there's not really one that sticks out as far as a specific trade. I definitely look at player value. I like to use ADP when I'm looking at trading players and just making sure that, you know, that the value's off. But for me, I go after guys that I want, period. Mm-hmm. Even if the value isn't quote unquote correct.
Hashtag get your guy.
I get my guy. Absolutely. That's big for me. This is a game that's supposed to be fun. Mm-hmm. To play, and I want to enjoy and root for the players that I'm. You know, it sucks when you have a player in your team and you're like, man, I don't really like that guy, but I need him to score 3 touchdowns today. You know, I mean, don't get me wrong, I'll take some of those players if it's going to help me win championships, but ultimately, I'd like to have a team assembled with guys that I enjoy watching play the game. That are also really good at football and putting up fantasy points. So, you know, that's kind of my thing, I guess. I try to get my guys. I try to get the guys that I like. But I also try to diversify. I don't like having the same guys in every single league. So that's a challenge, actually.
Yes.
You know, I find myself a lot of times I'll be like, dang, I have this guy on like five teams. Like, I got to diversify a little bit. So I don't trade, you know, I don't trade just to trade in that sense. Like, I don't trade guys away that I like just because I have too many shares of them. But at the same time, I do like to get different players. You know, maybe I don't own a player. Maybe there's a player I like, but I don't own him in any leagues. Well, I'm going to try to go get that guy so that I can enjoy him in that league. So that's kind of my thing as far as trading goes. But,
and of course, you glossed over, have you made any trades that just went horribly for you?
Yeah. Boy. Yeah. So I traded in a super flex league. This hasn't gone horribly yet, but it could go really, really bad. I traded Devontae Adams, who I'm much lower on than
we know
than
how
almost
you feel about Devontae
everybody
Adams
around.
Right,
right, exactly. But I traded him in a super flex league early in this offseason, like back around the Super Bowl. I traded him for Corey Coleman and the 106, which is probably a horrible trade.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's not great.
Yeah, yeah. So now the good news is I also have, like, this is a rebuild for me, this particular team. So I this pick gave me 4 first round picks in a row. So I was able to rebound pretty nicely, and it gave me flexibility. I was able to move around a little bit in the rookie draft to get some guys that I wanted, but yeah, that one from a value standpoint, I should have done better. I mean, Adams, even then, I mean, he wasn't going top 15 overall then, but he was top 20 range, right around 20. So I probably could have gotten a lot more for him had I held out and just held on to him. But, you know, we all make bad trades. I mean, there are, if you say you haven't made a bad trade in this game, you're lying, plain and simple. Yeah. So, I mean, some people make more bad ones than others, but we've all made them. Yeah, so,
especially when you traded our volume, you're bound to make a few bad ones.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So this is an interesting conversation. I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to flip this around and ask you the same thing. You know, tell the listeners a little bit about you. I'm very interested to know. I want to know all those things that you asked me. And then I'm also interested to know where Outhouse came from. What's the story behind that?
All right. Well, first, let's get this out there. My name is Russ. I have gotten far too lazy to edit out all the times where you have called me Russ instead of Outhouse. So there it is. It's out there. That's my real name. It's funny. When one of my league chats, we were talking about how there's so many Twitter accounts where it's fantasy something or dynasty something and how they're just all so full of crap. So I joked and laughed and sent a screenshot that I made a Twitter account that is literally Dynasty Full of Crap, and that is where I got Dynasty Outhouse from.
I love it. That's great.
And what's really bad is, like, at first there was about 5 of us who used the account, and we would purposely contradict each other so it just looked like we were crazy. Sammy Watkins, oh man, we would go back and forth about, like, someone would have a poll asking about Sammy Watkins' value. And I would put in there, oh man, Sammy, easy early first. And then, like, a half hour later, you'd see another reply, but maybe he's kind of worth an early second, because that, like, we would literally argue with ourselves. Like, it was borderline troll accounts, but it was really just us having fun.
Sure.
And then seriously, like, a week later, they all lost interest. And then I totally became what we started out making fun of. Like, you know, just completely talking out of my ass and just giving fantasy advice and answering trade polls, and it kind of is awesome. So clearly what began as a joke turned into something that I actually greatly enjoy and find happiness in. So sorry and thank you, Dynasty community. I'm not really sure.
That's awesome, man. No, that's a great story. It's good to finally know that. I honestly didn't didn't know where it came from. So I'm glad I asked and gives the people a little bit of insight. So.
And I also just love the fact that people refer to me as Outhouse because I think it's hilarious. I've never cared if anyone knew what my real name was, but I just thought it was really funny that people referred, to make people say the word Outhouse over and over again was just hilarious.
Mm-hmm. When we started this venture, I even asked, I think, what am I supposed to call you? And you're like, I don't care. Call me whatever you want. So. So yes, I've let Russ slip a few times, but you'll always be the Outhouse.
Men are mere mortals. The Outhouse lives forever. All right. But on to the questions. I have been playing fantasy for 12-ish years. Then Dynasty, I've been playing for about three full seasons, but I think I've talked about this before. I wanted to get into Dynasty, but didn't want to make a fool of myself. So I actually spent an entire year listening to podcasts and reading articles before I jumped in. Like, I had a RotoViz subscription and a DLF subscription and was on forums and everything. Just because the reason I went for Dynasty is clearly because I have always been a trade addict and there's not really the incentive to trade all the time in yearly leagues.
Right.
Because, you know, why trade for a young guy if you're not going to have him next year anyway?
Mm-hmm.
So I pretty much found something that seemed more suited to what I enjoyed in the game. And like you said, I started with one league, turned into two, and my first year I was in seven leagues before the season even started. And I don't regret a second of it. I'm now up to 15. And that's only including leagues where you have to set lineups. I'm in at least one Dynasty Best Ball. Shout out Cartoon Do-Gooders Alliance. And, oh man, Scott Fishbowl is not Dynasty, but I still want to brag that I'm in the Scott Fishbowl.
Oh, yeah.
So are you.
Yes, yes.
Represent.
Yep.
So, yeah, that's my Dynasty story. Best trades. Oh man, 2 years ago, I had the perfect storm of trades that made me look so damn good. I traded Jordan Matthews and two firsts for Mike Evans and Carlos Hyde.
Ooh.
This dude was just huge on Jordan Matthews, and I wanted Mike Evans. And I turned Carlos Hyde and Golden Tate into LeSean McCoy and Doug Baldwin.
Wow.
And this was, it's funny, this was actually a difficult trade for me. I traded away Michael Floyd for David Johnson.
That should not have been a difficult trade.
Michael Floyd was going to take over Larry Fitzgerald when he retired that year, because that was going to happen 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And, oh man, so I had David Johnson when he went nuts, Mike Evans when he went nuts, Doug Baldwin when he was like the wide receiver six, LeSean McCoy when he was like the running back four. Like, seriously, I looked like a mastermind, and it was so blind luck. But yeah, I ran away with that league that year. I lost one game, and the funny thing is I lost that game by like 60. I wish, like, I remember why I lost that game, but man, one game randomly. I guess that shows how random a league can be, whereas I just got crushed. But yeah, lost. That was the only game I lost. I won that league. And then after, oh yeah, and I got digs in that league, because that's what I do. I get digs in leagues. Which leads me into my worst trade, was after that season, I'm like, you know what? LeSean McCoy's old. I forgot what else I had at running back where I got, I think it was like James White's good year. So I'm like, all right, that's not actually going to keep happening. So I need some help at running back. And some guy offered me Jay Ajayi for Stephon Diggs. And I'm like, all right, you know what? I love Diggs. I have him in like six leagues and I need some running back help. You know what? This is against all better judgment, but I'm going to do it. I should have listened to myself because that went poorly. And Jay Ajayi, I think, is heading his way towards zero value. And Stephon Diggs is now, what is he, ADP of 23?
Yeah, I think that's right. Somewhere in that range.
And he's my boy. And I traded him away for nothing and for no reason. I still get sad thinking about that, which is sad in and of itself because I you know, it's a fantasy football trade.
Sure.
I think that's all the questions. No, okay. My guiding principle.
Yes, guiding principle.
All right. It's funny. Whenever anyone, you know, messages me is like, hey, I was thinking about this. You know, you open for that? It just, I always start with the phrase, you know me.
Yeah.
You know me. I'm open to anything. Send an offer. Nobody is off the table. I don't, it's worth a shot is really what I should say is my guiding principle. There's a difference between sending a bad trade and sending something where, okay, I just sent an offer. All right, so this is, we're going to get these real. I sent an offer to Rod as a counter offer. He sent me, what did he send me? Julio Jones and Blake Bortles for Marcus Mariota and I think it was Stephon Diggs.
So can I stop you for just a second?
Yeah.
So this is real. This is so much fun. This is real time. So I have Twitter up all the time, right? So I'm looking at Twitter and I saw the thing that you, so there was a post and it was about the three words that this is going to be a little bit off topic, but I promise it's going to circle and come back around. So there was this three words thing about what women like, was it? Oh, men reveal.
What three words do men want women to whisper to them during sex or something like
and
that?
And you son of a gun, put trade offer sent, which literally I had to turn my mic off. I started laughing. So I tweeted out that we're currently recording the podcast, and I just came across this, and I'm having a hard time not laughing into the microphone. Well done, outhouse. Well done. Okay, and Rod replies, tell him to trade for Julio Jones. So I swear to God, that's what he said. He said, and now he just subtweeted us and said, outhouse and Brian Hard, let's make some Trade Addicts pod history, a live while recording trade. Who's with me? Honest to goodness, that's what this guy wrote. I love
awesome.
Rod, man. He's a great dude. This is
right.
And we may or may not do that tonight, but that's hilarious that all that came up as you were discussing your trading strategies, and you actually brought that trade up. So that's hilarious to me, and totally threw a wrench in what we were
completely derailed. Matt, he was one of the last names to make it into the Trade Addicts 3 League. So glad the random number generator let him in.
Oh, man, right.
he's a good owner.
Yeah, for sure, man. Rod and X, cool, too, dude. Both of those guys, the top shelf guys, those guys are great.
Okay, so, man, story.
Yep.
Okay, so he offered me Bortles and Julio for Mariota and Diggs.
Yep.
And I reply saying, that's not really what I'm going for in this, like, because you were saying it before, you end up with, like, eight of the same guy throughout your leagues.
Right.
I took Trade Addicts 3, and I'm like, I'm going to build this team different. I always build around wide receivers. This league is going to be built around quarterbacks and running backs because that's two things I'd never do.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, this dude offered me Julio Jones. I'm just like, oh, my God, of course I want Julio Jones, but I have to be in this league it had to be. So I replied to him like, look, that's not what I'm looking to do. Just tell me what you're looking for. And being like-minded, he's like, you know me, just offer me something. So I'm like, all right, let's see what I can get away with. He and I have traded Aaron Jones back and forth like four times, kind of like you and Melvin Gordon.
Yes.
So I'm like, all right, let's do this. So I offer him Stephon Diggs and Aaron Jones for Julio Jones. Now, clearly that's not a very good offer, but...
Dude, honestly?
Well, you're crazy on Aaron Jones, so let's just... We're going to skip past that. And you're higher on Diggs than I am somehow.
So what did he say to that?
Oh, of course he said no.
Did he counter it?
No.
Okay, do you want me to help you make a trade with this guy?
I mean, I like trades.
That's well done too, right there, buddy. So, swap. Do you have picks, or did you trade them?
No, they're all gone.
Dang.
Okay. All right, so I send him the message, Diggs and Aaron Jones for Julio.
Mm-hmm.
So, which replies, you're much higher on Diggs than I am. And I say, well, yeah, but I was hoping you really wanted Aaron Jones back. Well, not that bad. So it's just like, hey, man, worth a shot. And he's like, yeah, absolutely, worth a shot. And to which he said, I figured I'd just poke around trying to get at my quarterback and my boy, Stephon Diggs.
Right. And to your point, always be open to everything is your mantra.
Way to bring that back, because I was about to say I have no idea why we were talking about this.
Yeah.
Good job.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Right. So always be open for everything, and everything is always worth a shot. That doesn't mean send crap offers. That means if you're like, oh, maybe, then yeah, it's worth a shot. If it doesn't fit their system or what it seems like they're building, just throw in a message. Hey, this doesn't look like it seems like what you're doing, but I figured I'd give it a try, which I've done many times and I've gotten rejected many times. But they say, hey, no, made sense. Good offer.
Yeah, for sure.
So always try, because that's you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Wayne Gretzky, Michael Scott.
But Mario's better, right? I'm just kidding. Oh. We're not going to get into that.
Well, let's just say
I'm from Pittsburgh, dude. I have to do that.
I'll just say Jaromir Jagr was better because he had that mullet for like 30 years.
You should grow one of those.
I mean, don't get me wrong. In the early 90s, I had one.
Nice.
Pictures don't exist anymore, I hope. But...
oh, man. So all that was fun. So... that was fun, giving everyone a little bit of insight into us and our trading strategies and mantras. And that was
real
good.
Real quick before we move on.
Yeah.
Our buddy Nick Martinez, at Nick Martinez FF, who's in Trade Addicts 3, actually, wanted to know, what hobby would you obsess over if fantasy football did not exist?
Oh, my.
Right. See, this is tough because in my life, I have my family, my job, and fantasy football. I really honestly don't do anything else. So I had to, like, think of what I did before I went insane with fantasy football.
Oof.
And my answer is I would probably have a basement full of comics. That's what I mean. I have a Star Wars tattoo and Batman tattoos, and more are coming. So, I mean, that's the level of geek I am. But once we bought a house and once we had kids, you know, spending $40 a week on comics got a little out of hand. And I know Bobby's probably like $40.
Yeah, I was just thinking, like, I was just thinking about Bobby too, because I know he's real big into that. So
yeah, every week he posts his haul, and I'm like, oh my god, I miss that stuff. So yeah, I think comics is definitely my answer. Going to conventions, which I used to do. Hey, what did you do on your 21st birthday? Drank a lot? I was at a comic book convention. How was your college graduation? I don't know. I didn't go. I was at a comic book convention.
Nice.
True stories.
Nice.
All right, what about you?
Yeah, is fantasy hockey good enough? Like, is that too close to fantasy football? Or
yes,
dang.
Cheater.
Boy, I don't know. Like, I mean,
I
do
cross country skiing or
no? I'm a downhill guy. I'm a downhill guy when it comes to skiing. I gotta get hooked up with some of my guys out in Denver there, in the Dynasty community, and go skiing out there.
Yeah, there's some. I mean, I would never ski because I like my limbs not broken and attached to my body.
Well, I've skied for years and I'm still here.
Yeah, no, I am a goofy MFer, so it would not go well for me.
I don't know. I mean, I think it's tough. I like gaming. I'm a gamer. I'd probably spend more time doing that. Ah, man, I really don't know. My geeky thing, I guess, is WWE. Like, I was like raised wrestling.
Yeah, we talked about this at one point. Yeah, but you're a generation ahead of me.
Yeah. Yeah. So I still pay attention. Like, I'm definitely not as into it as I was 10, 20. Well, geez, I'm old.
You're old.
Yeah. Well, you're just as old as me. So
I am
it.
Absolutely.
But
I was about to say, you're about to talk about The Rock. And I'm like, yeah, Superfly Jimmy Snuka.
Yeah. No. I definitely was a big wrestling guy. I actually am close personal friends with the guy that does all the championship belts for a lot of the promotions and
you should
different
get, like,
things.
A super
so
best friend belt.
I should and send it to you.
Oh man, we could have best friend belts.
We could have best friend belts. We could be like tag champ belts.
Oh man, get that guy on the phone.
So, but yeah, no, I really, honestly, I don't know. I mean, I don't feel like, obviously I spend a lot of time doing this hobby, but I don't feel like it takes away from other things. So it's really tough it's really tough. I don't know. I might, oh gosh, I don't know. I might,
you're not doing it enough.
Hey, I might try to like work out or something. Like try.
Yeah, right.
For like a week. They say 21 days. I never hit 21 days, so I don't – I'm not sure. Yeah. I that's a tough – it's a really tough question for me to think about. I don't know. I mean, I have other hobbies. I like to I do like to do things like ski, and I like to play volleyball. I played volleyball in college, so I still do that on occasion. I'd probably do that a lot more. But, yeah, it's a good question, Nick. Thanks for being willing to
actually
throw one
caring
out.
About
yeah, for sure. For sure. Thanks for throwing the question out, and hopefully we didn't disappoint there.
All right, so let's talk a little bit of football. How about that?
Sounds good.
All right, so I'm not sure why you put this on here, but you let us know.
It's ridiculous.
James Jones and Maurice Jones-Drew think the Browns are going to sweep the Steelers this year, who they say will wait, the Browns are going to finish 10-6?
No,
that's what they
said. They said the Steelers are going to finish 10-6, which I'm fine with that.
Oh, that's a good record.
Yeah. I'm not concerned with that. I mean, I think that's realistic. Looking at the games they chose, I think they're smoking something in the studio.
I loved Pocket Hercules as a football player. I don't think I've agreed with one thing he's said ever since he got behind a camera.
Yeah, same
or
here.
In front of a camera.
Yeah, same here. Same here.
He's takey for the sake of takey, I think, and it's whatever. And I had no idea that James Jones was a person. He's a person. That he was an on-air personality. I had to ask you who James Jones was to make sure it was the Packers guy.
Yeah, it was. I'm trying to figure it out here on the fly. Do you know how long it's been since the Browns have beat the Steelers? Like one,
what
like
I know that for?
Like one time. Like not. I'm not talking about like sweeping a season. I'm talking about like the last time the Browns beat the Steelers. Like I can't even remember the last time they're. And I apologize in advance. I have some very very wonderful friends in this community that are Browns mm-hmm. fans. Two of my favorite people that are Browns fans are Josh Brickner, who mm-hmm. is at DLF with me, and James Katulis, who's on the Superflex Super Show and also at DLF with me. And they're both huge Browns fans, and I love those guys. But yeah, this just, to me is just ridiculous. I don't think it's realistic that the Browns sweep the Steelers. I can see them taking a game. I mean, that's a rivalry game in the AFC North. So I can see them taking one. I don't think they're taking both.
Well, I mean, it's like no matter how bad the Rams ever got, the Rams always beat the Seahawks in St. Louis.
Yeah.
When they were in St. Louis. It's just, you know, Jeff Fisher pulls two fake punts and a reverse field goal attempt for somehow 12 points, and they end up beating the Seahawks. It's just, I don't know why it always, almost cursed, wow. It always happens, and I feel like the Browns are actually have a chance of being good. So, I mean, yeah, there's a chance they beat them.
Yeah,
once.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, I think there's a chance they beat them once. And I think that the Browns are a much improved team on both sides of the football. Now, they still have Hugh Jackson at head coach, so that's a challenge. I think
why is that guy still around?
Oh man,
I figured once he earned them the 101, they would boot him.
1-31 in 2 years, and they kept him.
Wait, do we know who that? Do we remember who that one is?
Well, Robert Griffin was the quarterback for that game. I know that because he tweeted it out. I don't know who they beat, and I don't. It was 2 years ago, right?
I don't even remember anymore. Poor Robert.
Or was it this past season? Yeah, I can't remember. I don't think it was this past season, right? They were 0-16 this year. Or were
they were 0-16 this year.
Yeah, so they were 1-15 the previous season. So yeah, that's I don't know. I mean, I could see Todd Haley in at offensive coordinator, and I think that will help those. It will help the pieces in that offense. I really believe that. That's why I'm so excited about Nick Chubb, because I think that guy can. I think he can be. I don't want to say he can be Le'Veon Bell, but I think Haley's going to use him similarly.
I hope so. I have a lot of shares of Nick Chubb. Yeah. That's why he was always my 103.
Yeah, same here. Same here. You know, and they still have Duke, so I think Duke will be used in the passing game. But I think moving forward, Chubb, I think he's a better receiver than he gets credit for, and he's an unbelievable athlete. So, you know, so I'm excited about that Browns offense and Todd Haley. But, you know, I don't know. For me, if they're not an 8-8 team this year, I don't think he keeps the job. And I think Haley could potentially step into that role, especially if the offense shows life, which I think they will.
That has the outhouse sign of a seal of approval on it. I'd like if that were to happen.
Yeah. I don't know what's – I'm a Steelers fan. So like, it's – you know, I don't want the Browns to get good. I want them to
suck root for
forever.
Good football.
But, yeah, no, that's true. That's true. Root for good football. And fans in Cleveland, I mean, geez, man, they need a bone. LeBron just left again. We're not going to get into that either. But yeah, you know, so it'd be all right if the Browns were decent, just as long as they don't beat the Steelers or impact us in the playoffs.
Okay, we'll take that and move on.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, so that's really honestly all we really had set to talk about. There's two things I want to kind of go off a little bit about. We have to find like a nice little segment name, like Grind Your Gears that was on Family Guy or whatever. But I feel like anything would be a bad sore poop joke or something that would probably just be way too gross for being worth it. Okay. So I need to talk about this a little bit. All right, so I was in an auction startup. I'm in an auction startup because slow auctions take forever. But it was just starting, and of course everybody starts all this nominating all the studs, because if you guys haven't been in any auctions, a good strategy is you nominate people that will make other people spend their money so you can get players you want. So you never really nominate the guys you want. So, you know, people that don't want Odell Beckham throw out Odell Beckham. So all, like, the top 15, 20 guys, there was 28 people at a time in this one. But the top, like, 15 guys were out there real fast. And they were going for what seemed to be pretty cheap. So I'm in the chat, and I go, man, it's kind of crazy these guys are going cheap. Team makers are usually going for, like, a quarter of your budget. And people flipped the hell out. Were you saying stuff like that? You can't give that stuff away. And like, and I was just like, all right, first of all, that's not something you don't find accidentally clicking on any article talking about auction strategy. And two, I don't really have a two. I think I always do A and two. I think I just did that now. My wife called me on that, and I notice it every single time now.
Wives notice things like that.
Especially when it's stuff you do wrong.
Yes.
Right, fellas?
Yes.
And what was the other point of that? It's just like, oh, yeah, like, this is, look, we're doing a podcast because we like talking football. I like talking football. It's what it's why I'm in a league chat for every league I'm in. It's why I'm on Twitter every minute of the day, even though I should be working. Like, I wasn't doing it to goad people into bidding more money, which I did try and do later. But, like, that they were getting upset about. I mean, I sort of get people being upset when you're like, oh man, you're gonna let Lev Bell go for that low, because they want to get Lev Bell that low. But what's the fun in not talking? I never understood that, and it grinded my gears, it chapped my ass, it did thing. I was trying to make up something on the fly, and it didn't really work.
Yeah, I mean. This one.
All right, give us the Mr. Nice Guy answer.
Well, no, I mean, I think. So first of all, let me preface this by saying I'm not involved in a ton of auction leagues. I just actually did my first one this offseason, so I'm just putting that out there. But you know, one of the things that makes the Trade Addicts League so fun, and especially during, I mean, obviously after the draft when the trades begin happening, but the trades actually are happening during the draft too, so I can't really even say that, but. Yeah, we talk football the whole time. Like, every Trade Addicts League I'm in two, but I mean, how many are there now? Four? Five?
Yeah.
Four.
So you're in half.
Yeah, so I'm in half of them, right? And I know, I mean, you tell me about the other league chats, even though I'm not in them. You know, and we talk football all the time. Like, we talk during the draft, we talk during the rookie drafts, we talk during the off seasons, we talk during the seasons. You know, so I mean, it's like, we love talking football. So And here's the other thing. I guess, I mean, if you're playing with people that don't know what they're doing or are new to Dynasty or whatever, or if you're playing in huge money leagues, that's the other thing. I mean, if you're playing, where it's a, you know, couple hundred dollar entry fee and you're playing for thousands of dollars, okay, maybe you calm it down in the chat and don't throw stuff out. So, you know, during the draft. I mean, if you're playing in like up to a $50 league, and don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to minimize $50. $50 is a lot of money. Like, I'm not trying to minimize that. But at the same time, like, this is for fun, you know? So I don't see anything wrong with chatting during the draft and saying things like that. I mean, I can understand if I had a guy flying under the radar and we were several hours in, would I roll my eyes or be like, dadgummit, when somebody said something about it in the chat, yeah, I'd probably be like, come on, dude. But at the same time, I wouldn't get upset about it. I mean, I would be disappointed that it didn't slip any longer than it did, but that's different than flipping out and being mad about it. You know what I mean? So I don't know. That's just my take on it. And again, I don't have a ton of experience with auctions, but in the ones that I have been in, you know, people talked openly during the draft and it was like, yeah, whatever. I mean, it is what it is. And it didn't bother me too bad. So,
yeah, no, but like seriously, people listening at me at the pod, tell me why that kind of talk bothers you. Because, I mean, is someone really going to fly under the radar on a 12-hour clock? I mean, do you really think that multiple people aren't going to check within 12 hours?
There's going to be somebody in your league that knows that player is going at a lesser rate than they should, and they're probably going to do something about it.
Like, it just – exactly. Like, if me being like, oh, man, I can't believe this guy is going so cheap, someone should totally bid on him, actually makes somebody bid, they were gonna bid anyway,
right?
I mean, unless, you know, they trust me that much. I mean, I am an internet celebrity,
right? You are.
So
you are.
So of course. So yeah, maybe just because I say it, it'll happen. But no, like that's but yeah, no, I know it bothers a lot of people. There was, I forgot what they were talking about. Where was it? On the Trades HQ, Dynasty Trades HQ, they were just talking about it recently also. And I forgot who it was, but one of them there wasn't really a fan of it either. And I don't get it. I don't get why it's a problem. If you're being a jerk about it, yeah, then it's bad. Like, if you're cursing at people because some guy's going too cheap and you can't afford to bid him up, then yeah, that's stupid. You shouldn't do that.
Right.
But if it's all in good fun, which to me, fantasy football should always all be in good fun, I see absolutely nothing wrong with
it. Yeah, same here.
Okay, and this is going to be quick because there is no counterpoint to this. Don't at football players about fantasy football.
Correct. I agree with that 100%. 100%. Like, two things. Number one, they don't give a crap.
Yes.
And number two, see, I don't have a number two. They don't give a crap, so stop doing it.
They don't give a crap. That's really what it is. And it's seriously, and especially if you're being negative.
Right, exactly.
Like, I mean, I forgot where it was. I forgot who it was. But, like, someone was like, hey, player, you know, this guy doesn't think you're going to score this many points, but I know you're going to. I mean, yeah, that's cool, and you're being nice and everything. But it's fantasy football, man. Like,
yeah, I'm with you on this 100%. Don't at players. Don't at players about fantasy football. I mean, that's just – jeez, man. I mean, God, I can't even put the words together.
I know, right?
I just don't do it, okay? Don't do it. Now, if you're saying good luck or thanks for doing this for a charity or, you know, great game the other day, whatever, that's fine, whatever. Don't tweet at them about fantasy football.
Yeah, no.
We love this game. I'm not diminishing fantasy football by saying that. Just don't tweet at the players about it.
All right, well, that's enough of all of that. It's time to get down to some Trade Addicts trades. Now, last week, I issued a challenge to the other leagues to step their game up, and at least one of them paid attention. We have 1, 2, 3, 4 trades from Trade Addicts 2. Now, ignore the fact that 3 of them include either Brian or myself, but it happened. 4 trades, 1 league.
And not, hey,
awesome.
The good news is none of them were between us, though.
Oh, yeah, that's true. We did work it out with other people, so we still had other people involved.
Yes.
All right, so Trade Addicts leagues are 12-team, Superflex, PPR, tight end premium. That's everything. Yes.
Yep.
All right, so let's get into this first one that I'm mad at you for.
Ha-ha!
Now, you traded away 3 people that I believe all were on my team at one point. You traded away Devontae Freeman, Stephon Diggs, and O.J. Howard for Zeke Elliott and Corey Davis. Now, I am annoyed with you with this because I was trying for Zeke at the same time you were, and you just beat me out for it. Even though, again, I liked what I was offering better than what you offered him, but good for you. Okay, so this trade was 79% to 21% in favor of the Zeke Elliott side, so congratulations, you win.
Thank you.
Yeah, I don't know. I forgot who you did this with, Tanner, I think. I don't know what he was thinking. This doesn't seem super close.
So this trade is interesting. So first of all, you and I had made a trade, and we talked about it on the last show, I believe, maybe two shows ago. I'm not sure. I can't remember exactly. But it was – I acquired – yeah, in that particular trade, I acquired Freeman and Diggs from you with no intention of flipping Diggs whatsoever. I did hope that maybe I could include Freeman in a deal, not because I don't like the guy or think he's a good running back, just because he's 26 and he has concussion history and all the stuff that John Hoag informed us on, and made some really good points. So, you know, but Tanner Bullers is the guy that I think that's how he's pronounced his last name, but in this league, and he's a great dude. We talk trades all the time. Like, I've been after Zeke for him probably since he acquired him. I think you had him originally. You had Zeke.
I drafted him.
Right.
And during the startup, I traded him for Keenan Allen and Melvin Gordon.
Yes. Yes. And I have been after Elliott since. From his team. And first it was, you know, he wouldn't move him without I have Mike Evans in this league too, which we could totally get on a tangent about Mike Evans. But
Mike Evans is nuts on Twitter right now.
Yes, correct.
Mike Evans' Twitter is nuts right now, I should say.
Yes.
So we're gonna skip over that.
Yeah, so but he wanted Evans included in a deal for Zeke. And I wouldn't budge for a long time. And then I finally would, and I started talking Evans in a deal and for Zeke and different things. And we went back and forth and we almost had a deal done like 2-3 weeks ago. And then it just fell through kind of at the end. It didn't work out. And, you know, I think we had a pretty nice deal, in place, but then, you know, at the last minute, it didn't work out. So I came after him again and I tried a completely different route. And we went back and forth on this one several times too. And the piece that I know that he wanted at the end that pushed it over the top was OJ Howard in the tight end premium. So I was glad to get this deal done. I'm excited about it.
Obviously.
Yeah. I mean, I'm pumped to get Elliott. I think Dallas is going to just ride him for as long as he stays put together. And, you know, Corey Davis is a guy, and we talked with John about this on the previous show.
We're all pretty big Corey Davis fans.
Yeah, big fan of Corey Davis. I really think he's in line for a big breakout season this year, or even if it doesn't happen this year, then maybe next year. I mean, I believe in this guy's talent. I think he's a really, really talented player, has all the physical tools to be able to be a star at this level, at the NFL level. And now he's with a coach, a coordinator that should be able to put him in a position to succeed. So I'm pumped about getting Davis. I'm almost as excited about getting him in this deal as I am about getting Elliott. Not that the value's the same, but I was very happy that Corey Davis ended up being a piece in this deal. And I think for me, that's definitely exciting. I'm very excited about this deal. It was difficult for me to give up Diggs because we talked about that too. You know, I love Diggs. I'm a big Diggs guy, even though I shouldn't be, because the same arguments could be made for Diggs that people make about, or that I make about Davante Adams. But
let's ignore logic.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I just like Diggs. So it was very difficult giving up Diggs. But I definitely felt the value coming back was worth doing so. So
and Twitter says you won it. So, you know, all around.
I win.
Woo-hoo! All right. So let's move on to the next one. There is another big boy trade. This one is Adam Thielen, Rex Burkhead, Sony Michel, Ronald Jones, and a 2019 first. Wow. For Le'Veon Bell and James Conner. All right. That's a lot.
All right,
hold on. Before we get into it, all right. I've seen a lot of this lately on Twitter where it's like, hey, should I trade Odell Beckham for these six things? The answer is always going to be no, unless you have trash besides that one guy. It should not take four to six pieces to equal one. It's just, that's not how it works. That is not how you get a good team. Again, unless you have trash and you're completely rebuilding. This seems almost like a rebuilding trade, except there's so many running backs involved. I mean, without even trying to figure out if the value is... Actually, it looks like the value might even be on the many players side. I still think I would just rather have Lev Bell. You didn't get the Twitter. You're supposed to... Come on, man.
It wasn't out there.
Well, again...
I forgot to post it. We're busy.
All right, well... Let me just say, I don't fault the Lev Bell owner for taking this trade, because that's a lot of value that got thrown at him. But I think I would just keep Lev Bell in all of this, because I'm not a Sony Michel believer. I'm not a Ronald Jones believer. 19 firsts are random. I like Adam Thielen and what's Rex Burkhead right now. So, yeah. Again, I'm going to say it one more time. I'm going to stick with the Bell side.
Yeah, I'm with you on this. I would rather have Bell than all of these pieces, even though the value is probably on that, on the other side. I mean, Thielen is a wide receiver 1/1A with Diggs in that offense. You know, Michelle, Sony, and Rojo, and the first. I mean, that's three firsts worth of value plus Thielen, plus Burkhead.
I was about to say, let's just cross out Burkhead and Connor because they don't necessarily matter. That's four firsts for Lev Bell.
Right. So the value is there. I just don't think I could do it. You know, I preface it all by saying I'm a Steelers fan, but I think it's hard to argue that Le'Veon Bell is not a top 2 to 3 running back in this league right now. And he's 26 years old, and I don't expect him to slow down in Pittsburgh. If he moves on, yeah, there could be a difference in his production.
Yeah, dynasty value is a little tricky because pending free agency, and I mean, how long until the fear of drug suspensions actually goes away? I people still bring it up, even though it's been, what, 2-3 years since the suspension?
I think, you know, again, for me, the risk with Bell is worth the reward. I mean, this guy, this isn't a Martavis Bryant, right? I mean, the risk versus reward isn't the same as it is with Le'Veon Bell. Right. I mean, we're talking about, again, one of the top 2 to 3 running backs probably in the entire National Football League. Hell, this guy, not only is he a top 2 to 3 running back, but the guy, I mean, he's a wide receiver too.
Yep.
In one dude. So you have a top 3 running back and a wide receiver too in one dude. And that's why he once paid so much damn money too. You know,
I mean, we're not going to get into that.
Fair enough. But fantasy wise, he's super valuable. Yes. I mean, this guy, guys like Bell, guys like DJ. I mean, these running backs, guys like Saquon, I'm throwing it out there. Yes, I am. I can't let a show go by without mentioning Saquon. I mean, these guys are so valuable, you know, and these are the guys, because of the pass catching, these are the running backs. You know, we argue about this all the time, and this is a big contention in the fantasy community. Do you build around wide receivers? Do you build around running backs, right? I mean, we have this conversation all the time. It's, you see it every day on Twitter from somebody.
Mm-hmm.
To me, these pass-catching running backs are changing the game because they are
both.
They're both. And they're, you know, running backs typically do not repeat in elite category. I don't remember what all the exact stats are, because I see them in passing and I'm like, oh, mental note. And then I forget them like 10 minutes later because there's so much out there. But, you know, running backs typically don't repeat. Like the top running back has been different in like every year since. There's been like one repeat guy in the last 20 some years or something. I don't know what it is, but they typically don't consistently produce in the same level, right?
Mm-hmm.
Except these guys. Lev Bell has been a top five running back for like, I don't know, last 4 years, right? DJ, same thing, minus the injury. I mean, if he doesn't get hurt last year, he's going to do the same thing. So these pass catching backs are changing the game when it comes. You know, it used to be all running backs have to have two running backs to start your team. Like that was, I mean, that was a golden rule, right? And now in the dynasty community, that's completely shifted to what team wide receiver, right? I mean, you're
hashtag
on
team wide receiver,
yeah, you're,
baby.
You're there. You're on that, right? So, oh, yeah. But I think these pass catching backs are changing the game because they are essentially two positions worth of production in one player. So to me, Bell is just so valuable. You know, Bell, DJ, Saquon, those guys. I mean, even Zeke. I mean, 40 plus catches last season, or I don't know if it was last season, season before. You know, so I mean, these pass catching backs are, you know, or the guys that are capable of being pass catching backs and catching the ball out of the backfield. Their floors are so high. You know, they're changing the way that drafts are happening. They're changing ADP. They're changing the thinking, I think, around the position. So anyways, all of that being said, I think for me, I'd rather have Le'Veon than all of these pieces combined, even though value wise, there's probably enough value on the other side of this that you should take it.
Mm-hmm.
But I would have a hard time moving Bell for all of those pieces.
Yeah. All right. And these next two, we could probably get through pretty quickly because they're both kind of baby trades. Hashtag. But there's a funny story behind these. I was on Twitter one day and I just felt like trading, but didn't really know what to do. So I put out there, I was just like, who's somebody I should trade for right now? I feel like trading. And a couple of the answers I got were Alex Collins, which I felt good about because I heart me some Alex Collins.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, someone gave me like George Kittle. I'm like, I'm not up for that much of a challenge right now. but then I got Anthony Miller and Kiki Kute.
Mm-hmm.
I refuse to say cutie.
Cutie.
There's a few people that do say that, and I won't.
I do think it is cutie. There are two E's. So if it was E with a like an accent. Yeah, no, I this particular – okay, so –
Okay, let's actually walk through it. But right. I thought it was a fun way that I had these two little trades go down.
Yeah, sure.
All right, so it was pretty much just to see if I can go get these guys. The first one is I sent Delanie Walker and a 2019 second for Eric Ebron and Kiki Kuti.
I'm going to laugh every time you say it.
Well, now, yeah. All right, so of course I also took this as an opportunity to go get my guy Eric Ebron.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not trading for a guy of Kiki Kuti's level. I mean, what, he was a fourth round pick a month ago?
Right.
You can't really trade for him straight on.
Right.
And Delanie Walker, I know this guy wanted Delanie Walker, so I figured I could use it to my advantage.
Yep.
And I wanted to get something done, so I just threw the second in there. And it was a pretty quick accept.
Yeah.
I knew I was going to lose this because nobody likes Ebron except for me. but yeah, no, it was fun to do. To me, future picks are trading assets, so that's what I used it for. I now have Kiki Kuti on my team, and I reported back to that guy, and he seemed happy with my deal. So he's happy, I'm happy. I don't care what the rest of Twitter says.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the way it should be. Like, that's one thing about these Twitter polls. Like, never let the Twitter poll, like, discourage you or make you feel like you, quote-unquote, lost a deal. If you are happy with the deal, that's the only thing that matters, really. So hopefully your partner that you're trading with is also happy. But if both sides walk away from a deal and think, ah, that was a good trade, then what's it matter?
Because it feels good to win things.
And
when Twitter says you win, it feels nice. But when it says you lose, it doesn't matter.
Have you seen Twitter? I mean, Twitter is a Dynasty Twitter is decent. Twitter in general is like a cesspool.
Worst.
Oh, my gosh. I don't even want to go there.
All right. So we're just going to go into the next one to
good
avoid
idea.
Talking
good
about
idea.
The real Twitter.
Yes.
All right. So this next one is a little bit more involved.
I like this deal a lot. I'm excited to talk about this one. This is
all right. So the aim of this one was Anthony Miller.
Yep.
And
it should be, but good for you.
But I also wanted Calvin Ridley, so I went for it. And I also, it was funny, you traded me Golden Tate last week.
Yep.
And I then had Marvin Jones and Golden Tate on my team, and I didn't want to have to make the week-to-week decision of who to start. So I'm like, all right, let me trade one of them. And I'm like, you know what? I'm trading both. I don't want to make this decision
in
at
the
all.
Same deal.
Yep. So I traded Marvin Jones and Golden Tate for Calvin Ridley, Anthony Miller, and a 2019 second.
Yep.
And Twitter said this was 64% in favor of the Lions wide receivers. Honestly, again, I really threw things out for players I wanted, and I thought the value was nice. I don't have much to say, but you said you were excited, so go for it.
Yeah, so for me, I had an immediate reaction when I saw this deal come across in the email from MFL. I like your side better. You were on the receiving side of Ridley and Miller in the second. And these two players for me are guys that I'm targeting. I like both of them. I like Ridley. You know, Calvin Ridley he's gotten a bad rap because of his combine performance and his measurables and all that fun stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And we love the workout warriors, right? I mean, we love them. We love Saquon. We love Chubb. I mean, Nick Chubb, you know, and don't get me wrong. I love those guys too, but watch the tape. You know, people talk about Ridley and, oh, well, he ran a 4.3 something 40, you know, that's good. But when you adjust the, you know, the size stuff, right? When you adjust that to his size, well, then it's not very good. He's not very quick. He's not very fast. I watched him pull away from defensive backs in the SEC for multiple seasons. Those are the best back. That's the best of the best, right? The SEC is, I mean, it's hard to make an argument. I'm a Big Ten guy, right? I'm a Big Ten guy. I'm Penn State, Big Ten, root for the Big Ten all the time. It's hard to make an argument against the SEC as the best college football conference out there, okay? Athletes just in general are better in the SEC typically across the board than they are in the other conferences. It just is. And if you deny it, it's fine. I mean, I've done it before for the sake of argument. But realistically speaking, the best athletes are typically in the Southeastern Conference.
Yep.
Calvin Ridley consistently beat these defensive backs, consistently pulled away from these defensive backs, and he caught everything thrown his way. I mean, the guy for me on tape is legit. So the statistics don't necessarily back it up. The measurables don't necessarily back it up. Watch the games. I promise you, if you watch the games, you'll come away with a different view than if you just look at the statistics and the measurables. This guy can play football. And when we were getting into later rookie drafts, especially, well, not later, I guess, just prior to the NFL draft, Ridley was like he had fallen all the way down into the early to mid second range in rookie drafts, which is
like well before the draft. He was like right at the end of last season, he was like 103.
Exactly. Top. That's what I'm saying. Like, so the so his combine performance and what? That's it. I mean, that's why I dropped his combine performance. Right. And that sucks. I mean, he could have performed better there for sure.
Doesn't matter for him in real life.
I mean, that's how I feel. I mean, the guy is pro ready. He's going to play right away. I mean, Sanu's there, so he's not going to play as much as if Sanu wasn't there, obviously. But I think he's going to work in to the system this year. And next year, they're not going to re-sign Sanu. They're probably really in to take that job. So he's going to play across from Julio Jones, so he's not going to be facing top corners. And we're talking about great, you know, one of the best that's played in a long time in Julio. I mean, this guy's – he's a stud. Mm-hmm. And he's still only 29 years old, so he's going to be around for a little bit. Ridley's going to be on the other side of the field, and he's going to benefit. Ridley, to me, is a Roddy White-type player.
Mm, well, that makes sense.
You know, so if you liked Roddy White at any point since Julio's been in the league, then you're going to like this guy. He's going to catch passes. He's going to – you know, he's going to be a third down target. I'm excited about Ridley. I'm to me, and when I looked at this deal, I thought, could you guys please quit giving outhouse players? and don't get me wrong, I know the gentleman obviously who did this trade, and I don't think it's a bad trade for him either, especially looking at his roster. You know, I think he firmly believes that he's a contender this year, and good for him. He may very well be. So adding Marvin Jones and Golden Tate to his roster, I think, makes sense. But I really like the side you're getting here. I love Ridley. I just talked about him for like 5 minutes. Anthony Miller's another guy I really like. I think he's going to step into the wide receiver two role in Chicago real quickly. I mean, Allen Robinson's there one, but Miller, you know, Miller is a talented player. He was unbelievable at Memphis. I mean, this guy, if he was playing in a different conference, I mean, we're talking accolades all over the place. You know, I really like Miller too. And then you have the second as well, which is a nice piece, you know. Mm-hmm. So, you know, value wise, I mean, when you're looking at, you know, we talk about Marvin Jones all the time, and I think we both think he's worth a later, like a late first, you know, 1-9 or back first.
Yeah.
You know, for me, Golden Tate, because he's creeping up a little bit in age, I'd say he's early second. Mm-hmm. But then you have, you know, so when you're looking at the other side of this, you have a 2019 second, which could be anywhere from early to late. Miller, who's being drafted in the early to mid second range, and Ridley, who's drafted between the late first, early second range, typically, mm-hmm. or should be. I think it's a good trade overall. I just personally like the side you received a little bit better for just looking at the pieces without roster construction considered and all of that stuff. So that's where I am on this one, but I think this was a good trade.
Yeah, I liked it. It was fun because I always wish I could magically remember the people I was talking to on Twitter, but I was going back and forth with this guy because I literally sent out, I believe it was 7 offers for Anthony Miller, and right away, I got one that nope, Miller's going to stay on my team. Mm-hmm. I got another one that was more than fair offer, but I just know what Miller's upside can be, and I want to see that through. And I was just like, wow, all right. So that was like how everyone felt about Anthony Miller. So the fact that I actually got one done, it was sad to see Marvin Jones go and my one share of Golden Tate that came and left so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But no, super glad that I got those guys because it's nice to have Calvin Ridley on a team I'm not rebuilding on, because that's the only teams I have him on are going to be bad, so... It's nice to have him on a team that might do well and might be able to use him, because I agree, I think he'll get some production this year that I might be able to use him for.
Right.
And this is now my lone Anthony Miller share. So I liked it. It was a good trade. And yeah, it was one of those, like you were saying before, we both walked away feeling good about it. So wins all around, except for I could ignore Twitter because they were wrong when they said that I lost. All right, man, but we said this show was going to be short, and I know I'm cutting out a bunch of stuff, including your pee break, so, but it's still been an hour and 20 minutes.
Nice. Hey, when you're having fun and you're talking about something you enjoy, it goes fast.
Oh, yeah, it does.
Hopefully the listeners feel the same way.
They're still listening, so I would hope they do too, yeah. Well, hopefully, please still listen.
Please.
We like doing, even if you guys weren't listening, we'd probably still do this anyway, but... It's a little validating to when people say they listen.
Yes, absolutely. And hit us up on social media too. I one of the things I did earlier today was take over the I don't normally do, but I took over the Trade Addicts podcast account and asked for some questions. Interact with us, guys. We're just regular dudes. So you know, if you have a question, or if you're thinking, boy, I wish I had another person I could bounce a trade off of, or I could talk to about a player or whatever, hit us up. We're all about that. We love talking football. That's what makes this stuff so much fun. So don't hesitate to do that.
Yeah, you will never be bothering us.
No.
And you will never don't feel bad about giving us information. If you want to freaking send us a link to your league, we'll go check it out.
Absolutely.
Don't worry about it.
Absolutely.
Again, we do this because we love it.
Yep.
All right. But like I said, it's been a long time, and I say all right a lot, and you know, man, we have to stop doing that so I could start not having to edit those out. All right, so that one I did on purpose.
Don't do it again.
Now I can't think of anything else to say besides all right.
Yeah.
Damn it. All right, well.
Thank you for listening.
Yes, thank you for listening. It's been fun. It's been awesome. I'm going to stop talking. See you later, Brian.
See you later, Outhouse.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addicts Podcast. Please follow us on Twitter at Trade Addicts Pod and follow our hosts at Dynasty Outhouse and at Brian Haar FF. Remember to subscribe, rate, and review. Have a nice day, and we will see you next time on the Trade Addicts Podcast.